Let me read that verse. We're going to probably be reading it again and again this month, but it's a great verse. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, Advent season is a time where we meditate upon the coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming. And this description, the Mighty God, is one aspect of Jesus that many fail to appreciate. The Mighty God, it's like a package that's under a Christmas tree that gets left behind and not opened. You know, well, I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit will help me to unwrap the package for you so that you can see what this is about. It's for us to understand in our minds what the mighty power is of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then what it means to have a personal relationship with Him where He is with us all the time throughout all of our lives. Well, God chooses His words carefully, and this word mighty is used 156 times in the Old Testament, and it means a valiant warrior who has conquering power. A valiant warrior with conquering power. Well, this describes Jesus in human terms. Now, He is God. He is the God-man. He was both God and man. But He's also not just God. He is a human conquering hero. He's our war hero, you know, in the battle against our enemies. Well, we're going to look at that. So this describes Jesus in human terms, because although he's God, we must look at His human aspect in this. Why this mighty? Why is this word mighty so important to us? Well, it's because when He came, He didn't, as God, just take a look at Satan and fry him, you know, because he could have done that. He was God, but He didn't do that. He entered into our humanity by incarnation so that He could defeat our enemies on a human level. It would be a human victory. So Christmas is the ultimate birthday celebration, because Jesus is the mighty conqueror against the ongoing enemies that we face in life. Advent celebrates the greatest war hero in human history, in divine history. Its meaning is about an ongoing gift. The mighty conquering King, the mighty conquering God, that is a gift that everyone needs to unwrap this Christmas. Well, Christ's heroism was not the result of popularism. Positive exposure sometimes makes people into heroes. Well, when Jesus was born, it was not covered in the Jerusalem Times. In other words, you know, He was not popular with the people of that day as far as the elite. God chose shepherds. And shepherds were like lowly people. On the level of today, we would call them like the homeless. They're just lowly people. And He chose them to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus began healing and teaching. And that made Him popular, but not popular with the elite and the rich, but popular with the poor and the common people. And the rich and the elite, they saw Him as a troublemaker, someone who was a threat to the status quo. And then how He died. He died not only like a common criminal, but like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse. That's how humble His death was. And in that sense, we might say, the mighty God applied to Jesus? Well, that seems like an inaccurate description in popular thinking. But popularity doesn't make a true hero. True heroes are honored because they got the job done, and whatever the price was, they paid the price. The job Jesus accomplished was the redemption of all of humanity. And it cost him tremendously. It cost him lots of physical and spiritual suffering. Well, he continues to be that mighty God by being the mighty conqueror of our ongoing enemies. Our ongoing enemies that we face. Now, if he had just defeated sin and death and the devil, we would say, well, he's worthy of all of our praise and devotion, but he did more than that. He sent the Holy Spirit to bring him into our hearts so he could continue an ongoing battle against those things. He could be beside us in all of our earthly trials and conflicts to bring us to spiritual victory. Well, Christ's heroism is the result of divine self-sacrifice. The heart of a true hero is not motivated by seeking fame, but by seeking to serve. And God is a servant at heart. When he created the world, he did so much work that he took time off afterwards to rest. Yeah, he's a servant, all right. And he never stops serving in his care of creation. He continues to serve in his care of creation. The literal words of Scripture tell us that his providential care over creation is a personal commitment, a personal involvement. If you read the Psalms, you can see God directly involved in the care of creation. Well, there's nothing mechanical about that care that he's doing, where he oversees and cares for creation. Now, the deists, they teach that God was the creator, but he wound up everything like a clock and then just set it and left it to run by itself through natural law. Well, that's not so. Because God got personally involved. We see this in John 3:16. We don't think about it very much, but it says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he sent his son. God so loved the world. That word, the world, is cosmos. It means all of creation. God loved all of creation and he sent his son. And we're part of that. We're a strategic part. We're at the top priority for salvation by that coming of Christ to redeem us. Well, he wanted to redeem everything, to make a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. So God is after provision of creation in a personal way. But with us, he gets even more intimate, even more personal. In John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us personally. He laid down his life for us. And this is what makes a true hero, self-sacrifice. And what makes the self-sacrifice so important is because it's done to deliver loved ones from their enemies. What were the enemies that Jesus delivered us from? Well, he delivered us from our sins. That's what our enemies were. That separated us from God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says this, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. So that was one of the reasons that he appeared. Well, there's another reason, because there's another enemy. He's an arch devil, arch demon, fallen angel, Satan. Well, he's the one that continues to lead humans into sin. And in 1 John chapter 3, the same chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So yes, that's what Jesus came to do. Those two things, sin and then our enemy, Satan. But what about death? Death, our final enemy, which was produced by sin, but was defeated. Death was defeated by the death of Christ and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is very familiar to you, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of death is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death. So we must remember that we are at war. We are doing battle. And our three foes, Satan, death, and sin, too often We see these enemies as intellectually. We see them just in an intellectual way and not in a practical way sometimes. And what about where we live, though? What about where the rubber meets the road? Is Jesus the mighty conqueror against these ongoing enemies on a daily basis in our lives? Absolutely, He is. Christ is our hero for all of life. He is our war hero. He has gotten Himself right involved in that battle, right in the midst of the battle. Christ's prophetic name is Emmanuel. We sang that song. We're going to sing it as a closing. But Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. So He's God, but He's with us. And the only way He could become with us is to become a human being. So He is with us as a human being. He will be physically present in His second advent, just like He was in His first, but with a new body, an everlasting body, and He'll transport our bodies as well. So between those two advents, between those two comings of Christ, He promised to be with us. And this was a different kind of way that He would be with us, but it was like an incarnation, because He would be with us by coming inside of us to make our bodies His temples through the Holy Spirit. And so this is a promise that Jesus gave that a lot of people don't realize. In John 14:23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come to indwell us, the whole Trinity, indwelling the Christian heart. We never face life alone. The conquering Almighty God is always with us because He lives inside us to meet our deepest needs. There's a verse in the Message translation of the Bible. It's Hebrews 13:5 in the Message translation. It might not sound familiar, but it's a great verse. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, "I'll never let you down, never walk off, never leave you." That's a good translation of that verse. A war hero is known for facing the battle, not for retreating from the battle. And that's what Jesus did. He faced the battle. He did not retreat from these humanity's greatest enemies. He did not retreat from them. And if He didn't do that, then He won't abandon us as we face those same enemies throughout our lifetimes. Satan, he still attacks us. He still attacks us. So here's what it says. The mighty God is forever with us. And it says in James chapter 4, verse 7, and this is in the God's Word translation, "So place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you." You see, Jesus has pulled us into the battle so that we are resisting Satan now through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has given us authority. We have authority now to stand against Satan. So we have to resist Satan, not on our own power, not on our own authority, but on Christ's authority. He has defeated him. Sin. Sin still creeps into our lives. And Jesus, the mighty conqueror, remains with us in the midst of this. If we walk in the light, says 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us, cleanses us from all sin. Death, it still steals life. And it does it in a funny way. It a little bit of chunk here and a little bit of chunk there of different losses that we go through all through life, different losses that death is taking from us. That's what death is like. It just takes things away from us. But Jesus, the mighty conqueror, stays with us. And it says in Philippians 4, "God will meet all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus." No matter what loss you have, God will be with the need to meet you and uphold you through them. Jesus is the mighty conqueror against the ongoing enemies we face in life. And this is a precious gift that people should be excited about this Advent season. This mighty God, incarnate, who became the greatest warrior in human and divine history, he is our hero. He is our war hero. And it's his human birthday that we are celebrating at Christmas time. So, we need to think about opening the present and think about what do we have here? And it should turn our lips to praise. All glory to the incarnate, mighty God who became our almighty, conquering human king. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love to us and your gifts to us. We pray, Lord God, that at this season we will especially open that gift under the Christmas tree that is you. Not just a thing, but a person. One who comes into our hearts and who helps us to have spiritual victory throughout our lifetime. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.